What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. In the 26th episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist YP, aka Young Paul. They discuss his latest EP, Fire in the Palace, his upcoming projects for 2023, his testimony, and his life growing up in one of the nation's worst parts of town in New Jersey. YP, aka Young Paul, shares great advice regarding navigating with elderly saints, along with his music purpose. It's another SmackDown interview. You just have to stay tuned in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, YP, aka Young Paul. Without further delay, let's go.
Hey, what's up? This is Kayla Kemp. Check out YP, aka Young Paul, and C4 Cretona, Voices in the Mud, featuring Jared Sanders, and then dive into the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad, and YP, aka Young Paul, only on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Holla!
Hey yo, the blood make me bulletproof. I said a prayer before I rap and it shook the booth. I seen Satan with an apron trying to cook the youth. So in order to face him, you need the book of truth. The Lord forgave me for my sins, so I'ma never die. Could have been in hell, body cooking like it's pepper fry. Save not soft, I can't let it slide. You talk about the church, then you will get rocked. Don't disrespect the bride. You don't sip that living water, then expect to die. I peep the pestilence lurking, we spray him with the pesticides. Push these pesticides, you don't walk crosshair. The man on the cross said I put him in the crosshair. Blah. The angels around me look just like Wu-Tang. They assist me during my darkest nights fighting these Bruce Wayne. Just got the news, they put my mans in a hole like he Hussein. He let it fly to kick back, had him thinking he was Luke Kane. Yeah, now he gotta do a dime, cause that nickel plate, it had his eyes scattered like they loose change. Now I battle for him in the spirit, the war for a soul stronger than Putin in the Ukraine. Yeah.
This ain't hate, this is love. No weapon for the justice, cause we covered in the blood. Yeah, feel the pain from the mud. Read the voices trying to save them before they drowning in the flood. This ain't hate, this is love. No weapon for the justice, cause we covered in the blood. Yeah, feel the pain from the mud. Read the voices trying to save them before they drowning in the flood.
I'm from the dirt where it's very hollow, where the path to destruction is broken open and many follow. In the Bronx like I'm Benny Blanco, where the semi-hollows blow with each bullet the size of Henny bottles. In the seed, watch the shooters trembling, casting out the ratchet demon that got them acting like super gremlins. For your soul, I pray for true redemption. Out the mouth, the heart speaks,
We heard your songs and true intentions. Who am I? I'm a carnal being, battling these lusty demons that wanna kill me like Charlie Sheen. Therapy is few and far between. That's why relationships end, cause we meet in beasts like Arby's team. Receive my blessings when it's from the maker. I was once lost and blind, a dead man like Undertaker. Nothing greater than the son, the savior. In the slums with pray, a bunch of guns and razors in the hunter's chamber.
This ain't hate, this is love. No weapon formed against us, cause we covered in the blood. Yeah, feel the pain from the mud. Read the voices trying to save them before they drowning in the flood. This ain't hate, this is love. No weapon formed against us, cause we covered in the blood. Yeah, feel the pain from the mud. Read the voices trying to save them before they drowning in the flood.
Yo, I'm Dr. Jekyll, I ain't never hide. And y'all the worst type writers, y'all never slide. Before you think of stepping up, better step aside. Moving wrong, looking like you messing up the electric slide. Homie, let's get it straight here, I ain't never lie. Me and the three winning, homie, like a best of five. Medivac, stretcher guys, never slack. Prep is fine, devil's whack. I ain't got a problem pushing pesticide. I'm from the stoop scene, desert and harsh climate. Knew a couple C's like narcotics. Trying to get they reps up, pressing how the homies got a name, was carrying four fives like some $20 change. I tell them to keep it humble. You the scariest wolves, but under pressure, pack leaders turn to Sammy the Bull. You got a heckler, but it's reckless in the hands of the fool. Stick up, kid. I'm only trying to hand you the jewels. God.
This ain't hate, this is love. No weapon formed the justice, cause we covered in the blood. Yeah, feel the pain from the mud. Read the voices trying to save them before they drowning in the flood. This ain't hate, this is love. No weapon formed the justice, cause we covered in the blood. Yeah, feel the pain from the mud. Read the voices trying to save them before they drowning in the flood.
What up? What's up? And what it do, YP?
What it do, my brother? So yes, do I call you Daryl, the bookkeeper? How you want to be?
Man, it don't even matter, YP. It don't even matter, man. Yes, sir. No, yes, doubt. Sir. Yeah, I really appreciate you being on the podcast, my brother.
Man, I appreciate you having me, bro. It's an honor.
Yes, sir. So we like to kick it off with a little icebreaker. Who is YP?
Man, servant of the Lord, my husband, a dad, you know what I'm saying? An MC, you know, born and raised in Jersey City, live in the Bronx now. Yeah, East Coast to the core. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So yeah. What's behind your name, YP?
So it's an acronym for Young Paul, so that's why I just left it all together, YP, aka Young Paul, only because it makes the name unique. There's a bunch of YPs, there's a bunch of young this and young that. So I felt like putting the name YP, aka Young Paul, together, it makes the name unique. You know what I'm saying? And the name Young Paul was actually given to me by a good brother who was discipling me at the time when I first gave my life to the Lord. Pretty much the name, I know that we're going to probably get into the testimony a little more later. But it's attached to my testimony.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. So what was it like coming up as a child in New Jersey?
Man, so we grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey. It's Hudson County. It's considered, you know, one of the top five worst neighborhoods in New Jersey, because then you got Patterson, you got Newark, you got Camden. But Jersey City is right there in the mix. And the only reason why I mention that is because it just kind of shaped and molded how I came up, you know what I'm saying, the cloth that I'm cut from, which is why living in the Bronx, man, I kind of just blend right in. You know, I've been out here in the Bronx for almost 10 years now. And so, you know, it's kind of like the same thing. So, yeah, man, urban culture mixed, you know, Black and Spanish communities. It was rough, you know, it was rough coming up where I was at, especially, you know, my parents being born and raised in the same town, same city, you know, so I experienced a lot.
Yes, sir. I have a similar background as a young adult coming up in them projects, right? Yeah. Before the Lord was able to grab me. My question is, because I didn't see a lot of it in the projects,
mm-hmm.
the outreach for children, right? Yeah. And I feel like it was, and it still is, even though they're closing up all the projects in Birmingham.
Yeah.
But I still feel like the outreach that they talk about on TV and this and that and the third and the help, right? That some of the things that I've seen in the project as a young adult, it causes tragic or what I can even say modern day PTSD, right?
Yeah.
Was there a lot of outreach in the neighborhood when you was coming up?
Not that I could remember. I think the closest thing to that was the Boys and Girls Club. That's the only thing I could think of. I don't remember, like, in my community seeing people, you know, coming in there and, you know, setting the tone spiritually, at least. At least I don't remember. But then again, like, once again, it's attached to my testimony. As I got older, and maybe just understanding life a little more, maybe I started realizing the servants that the Lord had on out in the field, you know, were bold enough to proclaim the gospel. But as a young guy coming up, I don't remember.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So who was your biggest role model coming up?
Who was my biggest role model? Man, I don't think I had, like, one person. Well, I mean, when it comes to sports, I was a big Iverson fan. You know, my pops was a big Jordan fan, so I followed some of his documentaries and stuff like that. So as far as, like, that championship mindset, I would have to say probably those guys. Or just, like, that mindset to go and get yours, whatever you're good at, work hard at it and achieve it. And then, I was really infatuated with the street life, keep it real with you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the rappers, a lot of the DVDs that was out at the time, I used to like tapping into them joints because I felt like I related to where these guys were from and how they felt and how they talked and all of that. So, yeah, man, I guess it's a mixture of all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, sir. The culture. I don't think people really, but well, I don't think people realize that Allen Iverson was just as good in football as he was basketball.
Yeah, he was, bro. He was a receiver, right?
Yes, sir.
He was a receiver. What? Yeah, he was dope.
No, wait.
Oh,
he might have played quarterback. That's right.
Yeah, he was quarterback. He was quarterback. My bad. He was quarterback. Quarterback. The thing is, he was always on his feet going, so you get confused. He was running back, receiver, but nah, yeah, he was definitely in that pocket. He was just slick with it. He was out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they contribute him to bringing the culture to the NBA. I like to make fun and say they took them tighty whities off and started wearing the long shorts.
right. Iverson definitely brought culture to the NBA, man. He definitely broke down some doors, some barriers.
Yes, sir. Here's the question my daughter wants me to start asking on the podcast. In a room full of atheists, what's your message to them?
Man, for me, I would go into the supernatural, bro, because they're always going to try to combat scripture. They're always going to try to, come with some scientific philosophies and stuff like that. So I've noticed in my conversations with atheists, their weakest answers are the ones when it comes to, like, yo, you ever seen, like, a demon come out of somebody? You ever prayed for somebody? How do you explain that? Because they, with tongues, they could even try to go into, like, the brain and try to target that. But when it comes to, even though they try to go with mental illness too, with exorcism and stuff like that, but still it's a weak answer. It's like they're not sure about it. So I will always say, like, look, I've experienced praying for people and seeing demons coming at them. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't grow up in the church. What I saw in movies, I saw it right in front of my face. And so that's even if they think it's crazy, Like, I know that you won't say it in front of everybody, but when you're alone at night, you're going to be like, dang, like, how does something like that happen? Like, demonic spirits? Like, we always use these phrases like, oh, I'm battling my demons, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's like, nah, they're real. They're literal. Mm-hmm. So with atheists, yeah, you know, we'll try to bring scripture, of course, and go there for a little bit. But then I feel like my finishing move is going into the supernatural encounters. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think that's a great answer for the atheist, the homosexual, for the hip hop community that think we corny and all that. So that's I think that answers. That's a good way to look at all of it.
Yeah, praise God. Word up.
Yes, sir. All right. Here's a tweet I seen you post. Do you want to make money off of music? Yeah. We're going to keep it real. So here goes the tweet. It says, do you want to make money off music? Of course I do. And I have. But even if it didn't come, I still do it for the love and for the mission. So here's the question. Do you feel like that's what may be missing in Christian rap?
What part?
Just the love for the art and the lack of focus on the mission.
Okay.
With more of our focus on the bag, it seems to be sometimes.
Right. Man, that's a good question, man. So here's how I look at it. I can't judge. I mean, well, the Bible says that judgment starts in the church, but I believe that the judgment, I feel like when the Bible says that, you know, we have to have like a personal relationship with this person to really know what they're going through and know, you know, the ins and outs of their life or whatever, to be able to approach them and stuff like that. Or it could be something that somebody says. But besides that, I know for me, I definitely want the bag. I put in the work for so long. I've been doing this for more than 10 years. I've did so many free shows. I've done so many free features. I've sacrificed a lot for the sake of the gospel. And then at the same time, I knew at the time I didn't deserve it. I was just like, yo, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm still creating a lane for myself, you know, for lack of better words. But let's say I didn't get the bag and people want to check it for me, I would still do it because I love the art. And more importantly, I know that it's a language that people I'm trying to reach understand through hip hop.
Yes, sir.
Like, I was just talking to my man from jail the other day, and he talking about, yo, I was going through your catalog, yo, this song right here touched me. I'm like, yo, this is exactly why I do what I do. Or my man, you know, they were in rec or whatever, and they heard my record on Hot 97. You know, when Tony Tone played, he was like, yo, that's my man. Blah, blah, blah. You know, he's telling the dudes in the jail, or whatever. You know, so that right there, that's the mission. That's the love. That's the art. That's the art impacting. And really, that's better for me than the money. Now, as far as other artists that I interact with, I believe that for the most part, the mission is at hand. People that I interact with, people in my circle, the mission is first. Obviously, they want to get to the bag because at the end of the day, we have families. We have bills to pay. So when we're driving, have to go and perform, you know, I feel like we should be compensated for the time that we're taking away from our family and then all the gas money that we put into the mind. And on top of that, if you hire, let's say you hire a clown for your kid's party, you're going to pay him
right,
for his services. You know what I'm saying? So why can't I get that type of respect? You know what I mean? When you invite me to your joint to come and perform and do what I do and use my talent to edify, you know, or to impact, you know what I'm saying? So as far as other artists, so that's people in my circle. I feel like people in my circle, the gospel and the kingdom is definitely first. The love for the art is there. It's just naturally there. These are real MCs. And then other artists that I look at from afar, do I feel like that sometimes? Yeah. Could I be wrong? Of course. Yeah. Looking at the artists from afar, some of them may come across that way. Let me say it like that. They may come across that way, but their intentions may be good. You know, but they may come across like all they want is the bag. They may come across like I'm milking this you know what I mean, and getting the most that I can from this from a financial perspective. But really, I don't even believe what I preach. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Or they just look at it as a financial game more than a kingdom agenda. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it could come off that way. I'll say that.
Yes, sir. And I like how you have it in order, too. You have God, the mission, and then the craft. And I think important. And I think that humbles our intentions as well. Like you said, mm-hmm. just getting props from your man in the being, right? Just that's what you're doing for, right? The ministry, you know, to glorify God's name. And I like that order. And I also like how you said from afar, because if we're honest, we only see these people on social media.
Exactly.
You know, we don't know their heart. We know, and I believe too, I love what you said, because that checks our heart as well.
Yeah.
You know, somebody may be getting the bag more than we get, right? With us being a media platform, we know Rapzilla's the top dog. But yeah, one of my partners, Baruch, out there just told me that we're still a bridge. We prepare people for maybe the bigger platform. So we're still all in the ministry, right? Double XL or whatever, Hot 97 or whatever it may be. People come through us. We glorify God. It's the ministry. And I also get about being compensated as well, because as a media platform, people don't realize we have annual fees, monthly fees. The more music we put up there, the bigger our platform gets, or the websites, you know, I'm not going to say it's not godly people running these websites. What I'm saying is they still have to pay their bills too for the space, right? So, you know, we don't get a lot of donations and stuff, and then we don't even ask for a lot of donations. We just thank God for allowing us to have the platform and to continue on. So I even get being compensated.
Word, bro. Word.
Yes, sir. And not including taking time from the family. And then, like a lot of us, we still have jobs, you know, ministry in the church or whatever it may be. We have parents. We take a time away from all of that. So, yeah, I get it.
Right.
Yes, sir. So, I'm going to bring it up, too. I've seen this CHH is dead conversation going on again. The infrastructure of CHH looks like the thesis of the conversation this time. What do you think needs to be done better in Christian rap as a whole?
Oh, man. That's a good question, bro. What do I think Christian hip-hop needs to be better? I've seen that question float around a couple of times. I don't want to give like a cliche response.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly feel like, and again, I could just be biased by saying this. But so this is what I'll say. I feel like platforms like Rapzilla and you guys have done a good job, man. 520 as well, shout out to them.
Yes, sir.
Mixing up the sound. But for a moment there, I even had to check my bro Justin. Shout out to my bro Justin. You know what I mean? For a moment there, it felt like there was no like boom bap really being put on the forefront like that in Christian hip hop. It was a lot of the same sound. Like it was like this cheesy, like, and no disrespect to nobody, but it was like this kind of like cookie cutter, cheesy youth group music type of vibe.
Yes, sir.
And they weren't really giving light to the gritty, like the dudes that are like us that be out here in the Bronx or in Philly or, you know, Jersey or and just hood parts all over the world that, or not even all over the world, on the East Coast, because that sound, like, it's weird because at the same time with the cookie cutter stuff, there was also some fly like South music Christian hip hop was promoting too. Let's not get that twisted. Some dope like drill stuff or trap, whatever, with like that sound that some dope artists were killing that could speak to the hood or whatever. But I'm talking about like the East Coast. There's not like a heavy Christian hip hop presence on the East Coast, especially in Jersey and in New York. New York, there's somewhat of that, but even that's kind of like clicked up. You know what I'm saying? But even like the New York rappers, not all of them, but some of them were kind of catering to that like South sound, that like 808s and that trap and that drill. But like the boom bap, the gritty wasn't really being highlighted in CHH, in my opinion. And you see that on the worldly side in the industry, that sound is being resurrected. It's like a renaissance with Griselda leading the way, And you got guys like Ransom, you know, their careers being resurrected. You got guys like RJ Payne, 38 Special. I don't know if you're familiar with these guys, but they're underground guys that are now getting a lot of love in the music industry, and they make boom bap music. And okay. So to now see it kind of trickle into CHH, unfortunately, that's how it be. CHH follows was lit in the industry,
yes,
but
sir.
It benefits guys like me, C4 Katona, the Commissioner Riggs, Sayla. It benefits guys like us because that sound is being embraced again. And now I notice that CHH is starting to embrace that more.
Yes,
like
sir.
They just put my video of me rapping on top of the roof of my building in the Bronx on their Instagram page. You know what I mean?
That. Yes, sir.
They about to post this cipher with my bros, C4 Katona, Pride the Prodigal, Q Flow, you know what I'm saying? The rest of them guys, like Alcott and I believe Eric Clark is the other brother's name.
Yes, sir.
And forgive me if I'm missing anybody, but that's fly. Like, I seen that cipher already before it even came out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's dope that that's being highlighted, that sound is being highlighted again in CHA. So, I feel like now it's gotten better because of the diversity and the sound quality of the music, you know? And you have brothers that really, you know, coming into this thing, bringing high-level lyricism, you know? So I feel like these guys who mean not necessarily listen to Christian hip-hop, when they hear us rap, they got to respect it. They got to be like, ah, nah, yo, these dudes get busy. You know what I mean? Like, I may not be into Christian hip-hop, but I'll listen to my man's mixtape. I'll listen to this dude's album because it's still dope hip-hop. And yes, those seeds are being planted in those situations. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. I definitely like that. I definitely like that answer. All right. So that leads me to this, which, and you right on cue too. One of the things that frustrates me is it seems like our communities, our kids, parents, and schools don't want to hear Christian rap.
Yeah.
How do you reach a generation that seems not to listen?
That seems not to, well, I'm aware that not everybody gonna be tapped in, just like not everybody gonna be saved, unfortunately. But we just gotta put the groundwork in, and whoever comes across the music and listens to it and is blessed by it, then amen. You know, I will say this. How about this? I will say this, just to rewind a little bit. I do want Christian hip-hop to be a little bit more open-minded or understand that not all music is just for the youth. We're also reaching adults. Like, there's dudes my age that love hip-hop still. There's dudes that are older than me still pulling up to Nas concerts and D-Block and Wu-Tang concerts and all of that still listen to the Purple Tape or Mobb Deep, or they'll still listen to these Griselda guys that are my age that are heavily tapped into hip-hop. So, like, if I put a parental advisory stick on my album, it shouldn't be a big hit. Like, I'm not in there cursing up a storm. Maybe I'm talking about some grown adult stuff, though, that maybe you don't want your little man or your daughter to hear. Maybe you will allow them to hear because you want them to know, like, yo, this is life and this is what happens. And it's still tasteful. It's not like I'm in here dropping F-bombs and going crazy. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, so that's one thing I would say with Christian hip-hop. I feel we could have definitely, you know, started advancing in that area. You know what I mean? Just start realizing that it's not just for the youth. That it's for adults too. And I think that we'll be more embracive with like certain type of music that gets submitted or whatever. But still, you know, not compromising the truth, of course. You know what I'm saying? Like a healthy balance of like stuff that people go through on a daily basis. Like when I'm walking through the Bronx and I see the fiends leaning, you know what I mean? Or I see kids shooting at each other in the projects, or you know, dude shooting a fade or whatever. Like, this is real life stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, that we could talk about in the music that they could listen to, be like, oh yeah, I go through that. Or my uncle goes through the ear fiend. Or I just look, you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like Christian hip hop just needs to embrace that type of vibe a little more. And then you could mix it with the cookie cutter stuff too for people who don't know what this is like and they enjoy that type of music. You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
So now fast forward to your next question about the kids who live. Yeah, I feel like you can't force it on nobody, but if the music is dope, I mean, this was my prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me with my craft. You know, I know where I come from. I know if it's whack, they're going to turn it off. You know what I mean? I know they're going to clown it too. So I, you know, my prayer is like, Lord, help me sharpen my craft. Help me study the greats. And, you know, and when I study the greats and I listen to their music, I don't have to receive everything they're saying to me. It's really because I'm studying, you know, how they put it together so that I could become a better artist. And when I play this music for random people who may not be believers, they could still respect it. They could still put it on, be like, oh no, this is hard, yo, and be tapped in. Right. And I've seen that happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So praise God for that.
Amen. Yeah, I pick it back just a little bit too. And I like what you said about this just isn't for the children. Now, me, my personal, what I like to listen to is the more mature Christian, right? Yeah. I like to hear the struggle. I like to hear, and I don't want to coin this, but I like to hear the hood. You know, I like to hear what God brought you from. I like to, you know, being not proud, but being in that lifestyle at one time myself. And I know these kids and adults need to hear it. And what else I like about what you said is something that I've been thinking about, that Christian hip hop just isn't for the unsaved as well. It's for the believer as well that need to hear something to keep his feet moving in the right direction. So we got to quit limiting our minds that this is just for this, or this is just for this, or this is just for this. No, this is a way that we can present our ministry and what we came from and our testimonies in a way to the crowd or to the people that can understand and maybe hear something that God used out of our mouth to change their direction. It's just not for one set of people.
Right. I would encourage artists, man, like for me, like, yo, just be intentional with talking to God about the direction you're using, man. Like I was just saying to you, Lord, you know, guide me, lead me, make this sound right, please help me make, like, be intentional about involving God in the creativity. Because look, one season I was putting out mixtapes like The Proclamation that was hosted by DJ Wado that was very like theological, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Very theological, still mixed with some street stuff in there. But I was in a place where I was studying like theology heavy at the time. And God was like, we're going to go this direction for this mixtape. But now where God has me, and it makes sense, you know, with the climate in hip hop right now, he has me, you know, going even more gritty, more like raw with the message. And I really believe that he's co-signing me. And so that's the one thing I would encourage artists to do is like, man, make sure to have God involved in the creative process. Make sure to have God in the creative process, because when he's leading the way, you're going to realize when all of our hearts are submitted to him, you're going to get a mixture of everything. You're going to get some guys that are specifically targeting the church. You're going to get some guys that are specifically targeting the hood. You're going to get some brothers and sisters. I shouldn't just say guys, brothers and sisters that are doing both. You know what I mean?
So, yes, sir.
There should be a good mixture of all of that. We should embrace all of it if it's spirit-led. You know what I mean? If it's Holy Spirit-led and it's connected to the true vine. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Before we cut to this first break, we feel like we're one of the platforms that bridges the gap between the elder saints and the younger saints. One thing we tell the elders that have already condemned rap music as a message from Satan is that in Christian rap, that the message hadn't changed, just the delivery has.
Right.
What is your best advice you can give this young Christian hip hop generation when dealing with the elderly in the church?
Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, forgive them because they haven't caught up yet. You know what I mean? Like, some elders are open-minded. You know what I mean? But there's some elders that are super saved. You know what I mean? And they forget. It's like, I would try to reason with them and say, you know, look, you know, Adam was the curse. I mean, Adam and Eve, because of their sin, of their disobedience, universal sin came up to the world. We are now fallen. And Christ came to reverse the curse. He came to be the new Adam. So even if music, although it was created by God, is being cursed by the devil, we who are called to be Christ-like can reverse the curse and use it as a redemptive tool. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
One thing that always stuck out to me from The Truth, actually, shout out to The Truth, that because I was tapped into his earlier work. One thing he said in one of his records was like, you know, hip hop is being used like Moses' rod. And it's true. It's like, it's a tool that God is using, to impact, you know, the youth and the adults. a tool to be a light in these dark places, a tool to plant seeds. And you can just hear it in the music. The Bible says, out the mouth the heart speaks. So just press play. Hear the music. Like, I may not get with the reggaeton, Trisha and vibe, but yo, I'm also not going to be a hypocrite and condemn it, because then I sound like the elderly. I just be like, yo, if my brother or sister who listen to reggaeton, Christian music are blessed by it, then amen. Who am I to interfere with their relationship with God? I personally hear reggaeton, I start thinking about house parties and all this crazy stuff that, you know, that we were a part of. You know what I'm saying? But they may feel like, nah, I listen to it because I listen to it on the regular. Like, I don't just listen to reggaeton when I was in parties. I actually listened to it when I was in my whip cleaning my car, when I was in my whip taking my kids to school. I just like reggaeton. I don't look at it as just party music. I look at it as my type of music. For me, it wasn't my type of music. It was party music for a specific time. But if a brother or a sister gets saved, I'm like, nah, I just happen to love the art form of it, and God now has some brothers and sisters that are using it for his glory, that, and they're blessed by it, then who am I to say, nah, you can't? Or country. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
Why country being accepted? Why you know that type of vibe and that type of music, why is that considered holy and then what we do not? You know what I mean? It's like, we got to stop doing that. You know what I mean? We got to stop, you know, judging unrighteous. You know what I mean? We really got to use a lot of wisdom. We got to press play and just hear it. You know what I mean? Now, if you hear some stuff that are not biblical and it's actually coming against Christ and coming against the word and causing division in the body, then okay, fine. I can see why you could probably have an issue with that. But if the brother on there ministering, pouring his heart out, or the sister on there ministering, pouring their heart out, testifying, talking about how great God is, or talking about what they're struggling with and how they're leaning on God, and like, you know, we just have to be real careful with that. That's why I don't condemn certain preachers. It's the same issue we have, bro, in the church with denominations.
Yes, like,
there's people who kill T.D. Jakes, they'll kill Joel Osteen, they'll kill Preble Dollar, they'll kill Joyce Myers. I never killed them. I always say, you know what? Maybe there's some things that I disagree with that they do, but there are some things that I do agree with. Like, I'm a brother who struggled with anger and violence and all of that. And when Joel Osteen come on and he coming with that peaceful vibe and that smiley face and he's dropping gems about peace and love and how God wants us to, man, I'd be blessing me if I'm going to keep it 100. It'd be blessing me. Do I want to talk about sin more on the cross? Of course. But guess what? God has brought preachers to the forefront to talk about those things that we can go and listen to. So we just have to be careful about who we demonizing and who we cutting off and who, you know what I mean? We just got to be real careful with that, man.
Yes, sir. I would give one piece of advice before we cut. But I would say that the elder people that I speak with, like now, my church, before we even left, started checking for Christian rap, right? So through the ministry that we do and things like that. But amen. So I would say, and then have a conversation with my mother that stays in Florida, that they invite Christian rappers to their church sometimes. What I would give the advice is, and this is if you're going into the church more so, doing a show or something, what really burns them up more of is, when you come in there, and I'm not saying you got to wear a three-piece suit, because our culture, you know, we hoodies, caps, you know, sneaker game up, you know, everything like that, right? But when you're performing and you're still grabbing your crotch, you know, your personal things and your pants down to your knees, and the elder, the first thing they're going to say is, what's the difference between he doesn't or her doesn't seem set apart. They're going to go strictly to the word, and they're going to say they're acting just like the culture that we don't watch. And like you say, maybe super religious or super holy, but we are called to be set apart. So that would be my advice. If you're performing in these places, you don't have to wear a three-piece suit. I don't see Brian T wear a three-piece suit, but I know he got a three-piece service from the beginning to the end when he up there performing, right? So, you know, that would be my advice to the youth or any Christian hip-hop rapper that wants the church to invite them to think about your performance when you're on stage.
That's true. No, I agree. I agree. That's like a sister who does, you know, reggaeton music for the Lord and coming in there in a two-piece and she's shaking her thing or whatever. Like, nah, that's a little extra. That's a little too much. That right there is like, now you playing with it. Now you playing with God's grace. Now you're just being extra rebellious.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
There definitely has to be a separation. I agree 100%.
Yes, sir. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, YP, a.k.a. Young Paul. When we come back after these messages, we'll be hearing YP, a.k.a. Young Paul's testimony.
We have a new way you can seed with the Bookkeeper 247.com to help us grow. Head over to the website, click the merch button, and pick out our newly better quality design t-shirts. Enter the promo code behind the mic and get 10% off of your purchase. Also, you can help us grow by dropping a comment and sharing the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscription button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my hubby and your host, Daryl Kemp.
This is Kyle Kemp from TheBookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, man, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with YP. As we move into this segue, I'd love to hear a testimony, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved YP to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Man, bro, it's first of all, I got to thank God. I thank God every day, man, he took me out, man, that he rescued me, man, because sometimes we could lose focus or forget one of the main scriptures when he says, you know, count it all joy. You may go through various trials and tribulations, but count it all joy that your name is written in the book of life, man. Like, God is basically saying, look, you Amen. May not be where you want to be financially, or you may not have the job that you want or the career that you want right now at the moment, or things are just chaotic all around your life. But, you know, be encouraged that you're saved, because really that's what matters. Eternity is what matters. None of these things go with you when you die. Just your soul, before me. So I want to start off by saying that. And, man, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to my man about this. I'm like, yo, we always get asked about our testimonies and stuff like that. And, man, I was on, what show was this recently? I was on the Fix Radio. Shout out to those brothers, Holy Culture and them brothers. I was there. I was on an interview, sure. And they asked me. And I kept the answer kind of short and sweet, because I'm like, oh, man, I've said this so many times. But you know what, bro? At the end of the day, some dudes be capping about their testimonies, man. Some dudes be adding a little extra sauce, because every Christian rapper claim they from the streets and all of that. But we know who's who. We know who really came from that lifestyle. You could just feel it. You could tell. And so I feel like it's my duty, as being one of the people who really came from that lifestyle, to share, you know, the details of how I really gave it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So basically, I didn't grow up, you know, wilding out. I grew up in a home, you know, I had my father there, I had my mother there, but my father, if we're going to keep it 100, you know, my father was a very violent man, to the point where he deposited that mindset into me. I seen stuff at a very early age as a young kid that I don't think kids should experience. You know, I've seen my dad knock dudes out right in front of me. I've seen him come home with his clothes all full of blood. I've seen him come home to grab machetes out the kitchen because some dudes just jumped him in front of our crib. Like, I've seen, and then connected to that, you know, in my home it was broken. In my home there was violence. There was a lot of anger. You know, I used to hear my mother, you know, cry in pain and yell while I was in the next room, you know, as a little kid playing with my toys. Like, experiencing that, like that hostility in my house. You know, I remember coming home, you know, my aunts having to pick me up, and they're like, you know, your mother's in the hospital. And I'm like, what happened? And they're like, come on, baby, we just got to go home and get your clothes. And when I go to my house, there's blood splattered all over my room floor, all over my hallway walls, blood everywhere. And, you know, it was a crazy situation. My mother's face was in stitches. I had to see my mother's eye closed and her whole crack side of her face in stitches. You know, these things still to this day affect me. It still crushes me. You know what I'm saying? So there was a lot of anger that I was brought up with, even though my pops tried. You know, he was always in and out of the juvenile center. He tried to be a good father, but, you know, he wasn't raised right. So, you know, he was real aggressive and sturdy with me. Like, I remember I was getting jumped, and he actually dragged me out my bed and threw me against the wall. Like, who did this to you? Instead of, like, consoling me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. What's going on, son? Like, what happened? So, you know what I mean? Just he didn't know how to bring that peace. You know what I'm saying? So him and my mother wound up separating, you know, so I pretty much started growing up around 14, 15, I already was playing the streets, you know, getting into fights, running around with the bad kids in the neighborhood, always on my block, breaking nights, smoking weed, getting drunk, you know, walking around with machetes, blades, box cutters, kitchen knives, you know, this is the life I was in, that's it, you know, I remember I felt like I didn't have nobody got me at this point. It was like my mother, you know, she went and did her own thing. My pops was just in a dark, dark place. And I was just pretty much on my own. You know, I started living with my homeboy, my right-hand man, who wound up later on doing a 7-year bid for attempted murder. But me and him were living with each other. You know, along the way, though, I would have to say, man, like God, because my mother was plugged in, you know, with certain situations, she would always try to plug me in with good job situations because she knew that I was like heading down the wrong path fast. So she would try to put me in programs, like at her job. It's like corporate stuff. And you know, it's funny how God works, because he's like preparing me for stuff that I'm dealing with now. But, and even in those situations, I would ruin it because I would come to like these programs with my hand in bandages because my knuckles all banged up from fighting, my face all lumped up from probably getting into a crazy brawl or something. You know what I mean? It was embarrassing for her. Like, yo, why are you coming to these programs? We trying to get you right, and you looking crazy. Like, and she would be embarrassed. But, you know, this is the type of kid I was. I was always getting into fights. Always. I was always fighting. I was always getting into fights. I got stabbed from my boy who was getting sliced. He was getting cut in his face. I jumped in for him, and I got stabbed in my back for that. You know, I've had guns put in my face. You know, I've gotten cracked in the face with bottles and bats. Like, this is the type of life that I was living. Like, some of my friends called me KO because this is the high that I was on. I was very popular in my neighborhood for getting it in. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, sir.
And then because I was popular for being like a bad kid in my neighborhood, I used to get, you know, the girls in my neighborhood, they like the bad kids, you know? So, man, I just grew up fast, man, getting drunk, breaking. I remember sleeping in hallway buildings, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, dudes would, I'd be on my block slumped because I was so drunk that I'd break night. And my boys, some of my homeboys that knew me from the neighborhood going to work, catch a bus, they wake me up like, yo, heck, what's good? And I'm like, yo, what up? You know what I mean? Just reckless, yo. Like, I couldn't imagine seeing my son doing that as a teenager, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, so in the midst of all that chaos, you like, I couldn't even hang out at the time, the mother of my children, I couldn't even hang out with her in public because I had so much, you know, so much beef in the streets and with different neighborhoods and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I couldn't really walk around comfortable, you know? And even her, like, the mother of my children, she could testify of how many times she's been involved in situations where, you know, I got her in the middle of because of problems I had. Dudes would just run up on me. I'm ready to go, you know? So this is the type of kid I was, always violent and hostile, always getting it in. I hung around with the trap boys, you know, hung around with the drug dealers. It was funny because some of my boys were drug dealers, and then some of my other friends were stick-up kids, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I was always in the midst of this type of life, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Running around, I'll have the machete, my dude will have the knife. You know what I mean? You know, so stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? In the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of that chaos, God will bring people to me to preach the gospel to me. Like, it's like two people that stood out to me, three people that stood out to me. My man Caesar, I remember he actually got shot in the neck, by like right in the back of his head, but by his neck area. He survived and he became a Christian. And I remember he'll see me with my boys. We'd be 20, 30 deep walking around the hood. And he'll walk up to me and he'll be like, yo, you know, I just feel led by God to speak to you. And sometimes I'll make all my boys stay there and listen to this dude preach to us. We'll be 20, 30 deep. We'll have bottles in our hands, blunts being rolled. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be like, yo, let's listen to my man for about 20 minutes, man. Like, let's just hear what he got to say. Because I knew, and I didn't know at the time, it was the Holy Spirit working on my heart, but I was getting tired of the lifestyle. I was getting tired. I wanted to live a regular life at this point. You know what I mean? I was tired of not being able to walk around feeling comfortable. I was also a person who made everybody else's problems my problems. So, like, if you was my man and, hey, yo, these dudes over here on 39th Street, bro, I got beef with these. I'd be like, what? So let's pull up on them. You know what I mean? Or, like, if I'm with you and they pop out, I'm not running. I'm staying there. We all get together, you know, like, this is the type of dude I was. So I took on so many other people's problems that, you know what I mean, it was just you know, very chaotic. And so when these dudes would come up to me to preach to me, I would tell my guys, I'm like, yo, we got to sit down and listen to this brother. Like, all we do is hear negativity. All we do is talk about who we gonna stab, who we gonna shoot, who we, you know, or who, what bitty we gonna slam or whatever. Like, yo, let's listen to some positivity. Like, this brother, he talking about like spiritual things that we need to listen to. So my man Caesar played like a key role in ministering the gospel to me. Then my man Chove, who was also a trap dude who used to sell drugs. He never had a regular job. All he did was sell drugs. You know, he used to have long braids, missing tooth. And I seen him one day, his hair's cut. You know, he got like, you know, curly hair. Like, he glowing, like his tooth is fixed. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, who's this? I mean, who, you look like a whole new person. And he's like, yo, I gave my life to Jesus. So that was another seed planted. You know what I'm saying? And I'll never forget. So that those two brothers, God was using heavy to minister to me, a priest to me. But yo, then there was moments where, like, I'll be on the train. And some dude would come up to me out of nowhere, be like, you know, listen, I don't know you, but I feel like God is moving on my heart to minister to God. That's why evangelizing is so key. He'd be like, look, I don't know you, but I feel like God is moving on my heart to minister to you. And I was in a dark place, wild kid, you know. And I'm sure when these people came up to me, they were probably hesitant because the energy I gave off, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. The demeanor. And but I never rejected them. You know, like, at first, in the beginning, I looked at religion like gang sex. So, like, when a Christian would preach to me, I'd be like, nah, y'all Catholic, bro. Like, you bang that set, I bang this set. Like, but then when life started getting more real for me, and I'm like, yo, you know, when these people started coming up to me preaching me, I was more receptive to it. And now, so fast forward, that guy in the train walking up to me. Then I remember one time I was in Jones Square in Jersey City. I was about to get busy with some dough. And right in the middle of me and this dude about to get busy, some lady, you know, an elder walked in the middle of us and she said to me, young man, you know, God is calling you. In the middle of me about to scrap with this dude, she come up to me and she say, you know, young man, God calling you. He has a big calling over your life and you're throwing it all away and this and the third. And I remember, you know, me getting on a bus right after that altercation and she sat right behind me and started singing. She started worshiping and singing to God. And I felt the hairs on my arms stand up. You know what I'm saying? And all of these moments were starting to be like, it was like seeds being planted. You know what the Bible says? That one person will plant the seed, the other one will water, and God will give the increase. And so I feel like that's what was happening to me, bro. And so fast forward, you know, I remember going to a church service. It was actually a Pentecostal church. Everybody in there was speaking in tongues. I was weirded out at first. But, you know, I was like, yo, I know I need God. So if this is where, if this is how I have to go through it to get to him, I guess so. So I'm in there And I remember the elders in that church came up to me. They were like, yo, you want to give your life to Jesus? And I was shocked because there were so many people in the church. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. But I know deep down inside, I did want to. And then eventually I gave in. You know, one thing about Pentecostal churches, they going to get you on that altar. You know what I'm saying? So I wound up getting on the altar, you know, repenting of my sins, or asking for forgiveness, I should say, because repenting is turning away. So I asked you for forgiveness for my sins. And then Chove, my man who used to sell drugs, who had the long braids and the missing tooth, who is now brand new, comes up to me because it was his church. He was like, yo, why don't you come to a Bible study on Tuesday? And I was like, yo, I'm with it. You know what I mean? I need this, bro. And, you know, seeing you and seeing this new person, man, it's inspiring to me. So I'm down. I'll come Tuesday. And I remember it was one of them hot days in the winter. Like, I don't know if you know, because you're from the East too. Like, we have, in the winter, we have these cold days, but then there'll be those 1 or 2 days where it's just hot out of nowhere in the winter. You know what I'm saying? And yes, it happened to be that day, it happened to be real nice. And so when you know when it's nice out, everybody come out. Everybody want to kick it. Everybody want to chill on the block. Everybody want to cop a bottle, call some shorties, and let's kick it. The night, you know what I'm saying? So
that's right.
I was like, yo, I got to go to Bible study. So I remember telling my homeboys, you know, I was like, yo, what's up, man? Like, I told my man that I was going to go to a Bible study. Bro, why don't y'all roll with me? And after the Bible studies, we go kick it. Like, this is how I was thinking, you know what I mean? So they're like, all right, heck, we with it. So, but that was before the day was nice. Now the day is nice. And I'm like, yo, don't fall off of me. Y'all said y'all was going to come with me to this Bible studies. And they was like, yeah, we with it. So as we're driving around in the hoopty, you know, we kicking it. I'm like, yo, my man Chova hit. I'm like, yo, what's up? We going to go to this Bible study. Here they go. Yo, keep it real, heck. Yo, why can't you go another day, bro? It's Tuesday. Who went to church on Tuesday, bro? Like, yo, why don't we just go? You know what I mean? So they trying to divert me from going to Bible studies. And, yo, I was a baby at this point. Baby Christian, like, I wouldn't say I was saved yet, but I definitely was in the transition of it. But I already knew certain lingos. And I was like, yo, I was like, this the devil, yo. You know what I mean? I was like, yo, this devil using y'all right now to keep me from going Bible. I'm like, yo, we can't listen to the devil right now, man. Like, block his voice out. That's a lie. Like, we got to go to this Bible study. Yes, and they're like, nah. They're like, yo, why don't you just pick up? Now, my man Trove blowing up my phone. Doing, you know, he's serving. He's doing what he's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, yo, he calling me, man. I feel bad. I don't want to diss him like that. They're like, yo, just pick up and tell him that you're going to go Sunday. What's the problem? And already I'm caught up now. Because, bro, obviously, I'm not armored up at this point. You know, I have a little bit of information in me. The word not in me like that. I don't got the sword on me. So I'm getting broken down easy. You know what I mean? So I said, all right, you know what? This is what we'll do. Let's at least meet up with him and let me talk to him. Let me at least do that. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I said, yo, let me pick up and then I try to give my man Chove the okey-doke. I'm like, yo, Chove, man, my bad, bro. You know what? I'll pull up Sunday for sure, though, bro. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you inviting me. He's like, nah. He's like, where you at? Let me meet up with you. And I'm in the car with my guys, and I'm like, yo, I'm in the whip right now with my homies. We about to go kick it something. He's like, yo, let me meet up with you for 5 minutes, please. And I'm on the phone. And I'm like, I tell my peoples, I'm like, yo, we're going to meet up with him. Let's at least do that. And they were like, all right. So I meet up with him. I'm with all my boys. He starts preaching the gospel against me. He starts reminding me about eternity. He starts reminding me about heaven. He starts reminding me about what Christ did for me on the cross and all of that. And so, man, and with the Holy Spirit working on my heart, and I'm listening to him, and I'm like, man, I want that, yo. You know, like, I want that. And I remember he's saying bye to everybody. And my boys are getting in the car, and I stay there standing. And I'm like being pulled in two directions. I'm like, yo, should I just bounce, or should I just go to this Bible study? Like, why do I keep procrastinating? You know? And I was like, yo, I told my boys, I'm like, yo, y'all can bounce, man. I'm gonna go with them. They were like, what? And it hurt me inside to see this. I'm not gonna lie, I really wanted to go chill and have fun, but I was like, yo, I know I need this. And what he was preaching to me really hit me. And they were like, yo, you sure? I'm like, yeah, bro. I'll meet up with y'all later. They were like, all right, cool. So I'm in the car with the bro now, and he with another brother, and they driving me to the church, and I kid you not. So those are my boys. We off on the same block, but I was only with like four or five of them. Remember, we 30, 40 deep. Now we driving through my hood to get to the church, and my man Max sees him, rest in peace. He sees me and he's like, yo, what's up? Where you going? And I'm like, yo, I'm going to church. You know what I'm saying? And he runs up on the car, and you know, dudes, they like to play around. So he opens the car door because it was open. He tried to grab me, like, nah, you ain't going to church. And I'm like, yo, stop playing. So these dudes in the front are like, oh my goodness, what's going on right here? And they're like, yo, and I'm like, nah, yo, I'm going to church, man. Get off me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to church. And they're like, yo, you for real? I'm like, I'm dead serious. They're like, all right. And so we on our way to church, and we laughing about that. And they start playing like Lecrae. I didn't know nothing about Christian hip hop, or nothing about no Lecrae. And they in the front seat quoting all his lyrics and excited, and I'm in the back seat like, yo, what am I doing here, yo? Like this, you know what I mean? Like keep it 100. I'm like, man, this. It's like again, it's a beautiful day out. I could only imagine what my homeboys are getting into right now. And I'm on my way to church. So I was already kind of in a bad mood because I was kind of like, I was fighting with myself. You know, the demons were in my ear. Mm-hmm. So we get to the Bible study. I'm closing it out here because I know I'm dragging this out. But we get to the church, and the brother puts on a Paul Washer sermon. And I'm listening to the sermon. And in the sermon, the brother says, you know, if I knocked on 90% of people's doors in America, you know, they will say they have a relationship with God, but their life shows no fruit. Like they say with their mouth that they have a relationship with God, but their actions show no proof of it. They're really children of Satan. Mm. And I was like, yo, I'm there sitting there and I'm like, yo, I ain't fun. Like, if I'm gonna keep it real, this is me in my head. I'm like, yo, if I keep it real, my life does not reflect God at all. I believe I'm a child of the devil, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. This is in my head. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And if I die tomorrow, I'll go to hell. Like this is bugged out. Like, hell's a real place? Demons are real like this? So this is all going on in my head. And so my boy Trovis sees that I'm thinking. He sees that I'm uneasy because we sit in this little circle and there's no dudes that really look like me in this Bible study. My man Trover was the only one, which is why I could connect with him. But all these other kids were like church kids, you know what I'm saying? So I felt kind of uncomfortable too. So he saw that. He saw my body language. He's like, yo, what's up with you? He's like, yo, I'm going to keep it real with you, Trover. I don't want to be here, bro. Like, I forced myself to be here, but I don't want to be here. He's like, yo, why don't you tell God that? Why don't you get on your knees, go right there, you and God, and just tell them that. You and God, tell them exactly what you just said to me and tell them what you want. Tell them what you need. Tell them. And I'm like, all right. So I get on my knees and I said just like this. I said, God, listen, you have all these people coming up to me preaching. This is what me talking to God. You have all these people coming up to me preaching about heaven, about hell, about your love, about what you did on the cross. You know, but I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm addicted to the lifestyle that I'm in right. I can't see myself walking away from this lifestyle. I'm having fun. But at the same time, I know I'm in a dark place. I know that I have a lot of enemies. And I know that, you know, I know that my life is not going in the right direction. And if you're real the way they say you are, set me free right here. Break these chains that they're talking about. You know what I mean? Like they say, they're talking about these chains and all that. Break them, Lord. And I remember I stood up after being on my knees praying, and I said to him, I said, I don't feel nothing. What's up? I don't feel nothing. I feel exactly the same. And that's when I sat on that chair, and he played that Paul Washer sermon. And when he said those words about the lifestyle, when he said that you basically fronting it as a street guy, I was big on be about that action. You know what I mean? If you're going to say it, you better do it. So hearing those words, be it like the actions, like where's the actions behind what you're saying? You say you love God, you say you want him. Where's the actions behind it? As a street guy who believed in action, like I'm about that action, that hit me. I'm like, yo, I really don't bang for God like that, but I say I do. I bang more for the devil. And so I think right there, that's when there was a switch. I think right there, there was like something clicked. And that's when I started being more interested and learning more about who God was, learning about scripture. And I came to the next Sunday service, and I remember crying in the presence of God, like, Lord, I feel your presence. I felt his presence. And, you know, his word. When I started reading it with Chovy, he would break down scripture to me because I didn't understand the lingo. He would break it down to me. I'm like, oh, wow, yo, that's bug. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, I could relate to some of these guys in the scriptures. Like, it's amazing how it's applicable to me today. And it's such an old book. And I just kind of fell in love with scripture. I fell in love with God. I fell in love with what he did for me. Because I was the type of dude, like I told you, I took other people's problems. I got stabbed. I literally got stabbed for my man. I seen him getting stabbed. And that's the type of warrior I was. I got in there. Whether it was guns and knives, I got in there. And I got hurt, obviously, for being always on the front line. So when I saw what the Lord did to me, I'm like, oh, that's the most gangster thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he didn't even deserve that. You know what I mean? I obviously deserve what I got because I was in that life. I was living that life. But the Lord was innocent and took the worst form of punishment on the cross for me. You know what I mean? When I'm guilty, you know, he came and stepped in for me like, nah, I got him. I fell in love with him. I'm like, wow, like, that's the realest of the real. And that's what I was starting to preach to my boys. I'm like, yo, we out here, you know, holding each other down, but there's one who held us down like no other. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I became Christian. That's why I believe in Christianity being the ultimate truth, because this is the only faith that preaches somebody sacrificing themselves for us, and the only faith that gets to the root of the human heart condition when it comes to sin. You know what I'm saying? So, man, that's my testimony in a nutshell, bro. I know it was dragged out. My apologies.
Oh, no, it's all good, bro. And that was super powerful. I always get the opportunity to talk to that one out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
I would say to them that life is not promised tomorrow. Just yesterday, some dude was crossing the street on Tunnel Lee in Jersey City and a truck hit him. His head was decapitated. He didn't know he was going to die that day. And when you die, you're going to stand before God in judgment. And there's one who died on the cross for you so that you can be found justified and innocent before the righteous judge. And that's Jesus Christ. He died on the cross because he loves us that much. He loves us that much that he was willing to take the worst form of punishment. And there's no sin greater than his love. I don't care what crime you committed. I don't care how dirty and disgusting you think you are. The Bible says that the blood of Christ washes our sins away. And that's another thing that really blessed me. When I found out that in Christ, my sins are erased. You know what I mean? Right. Like any crimes I've committed, it's erased through the blood. And I'm a new preacher in here. So if you're standing on the fence, let me tell you, it's not all peaches and cream. I've been a Christian for more than a decade now. It's ups and downs. I've rebelled against God. Even as a Christian, I have failed. But yet, he still shows his grace to me. He still shows his mercy. And most importantly, he still shows me his love. And it's a beautiful relationship to have. Somebody that you can have hope in, even when it feels hopeless. Somebody you could cling to when you feel like you can't cling to nobody else. Somebody who will listen to you and knows you more than anyone else on this planet knows you, and that you can communicate with. So if you're standing on the fence, man, listen, just give your life to Jesus. Open your heart to him and get to know him.
Yes, sir. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, YP. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, family. I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews, start your own podcast, write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at TheBookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
What's up? Kayla Kemp back again. Check out YP, aka Young Paul, Bodega Visions Part 2, featuring Tone Spain, and then dive back into the most in-depth show in hip-hop, The Bookkeeper 24/7 Podcast. Peace.
I'm gonna preach. You gonna listen?
At the barbecue, we grilling steaks. Yeah. Talking about these random shootings, yo, they killing babes. Yo. I hate to see it, man, the feeling aches. Lord. Blood massacres in North with the blicky, got them squeezing grapes. Eerie place where the demons play. Hear me pray, disconnected from the wicked where the weary lay. Greedy giants never pass the place. I told the devil that his kingdom won't prevail when we crack the gates. Amen. These dogs bark, but they won't bite. I'm not surprised when this world doesn't love me, yo, they stone Christ. Plant seeds, hope they grown right. My baby hold tight, I made a nice deposit so that stone's bright. Left the streets cause it's all hype. Without God, we really have no power like we lost light. This cold world gave me frostbite. I've seen the devil take me in the wrong direction, dusted all night. When he's the pilot, it's a lost flight. Let's make the cross light, exposing all the darkness out these frauds' mics. Life's a gamble, so we bought dice. In war, we lost nights. I'm mad that most of our presidents are all white.
Why the hood so broken? The Lord gave me the answer. Society blame melanin, policy is the cancer. Desegregated and separated by wealth. Sent drugs, sent guns, we legislated by hell. And they put our men in prison, we devastated by cells. Put chains on sand bowls, they decorated our hell. There's more, but pride to all this education. I fell at the feet of the Son of Yah. I elevate, I prevail, and I put it to work. The way I hit blocks was prophetic. Preaching repentance and watching them process it was tough. Just cause where we from, we not blessed. Receive them evangelical lies like y'all said it. Bunch of babes wanna argue and debate it. Fully indoctrinated, ain't no freedom in that hatred. Making disciples in diverse places. They praying that you die when you divert the matrix. But y'all combine refined skill and divine will. That's why they throwing dirt on your boy name and I shine still. We seen the lame run the race and the blind healed. My calling is sign sealed. I'm balling the grind real.
We give you that divine feel. And we praying for those lives that those guys kill. Devils lie and they tribe still. Pray they mind heals. Choosing life or death for divine pill.
Sir, welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with YP. Let's talk hip-hop, let's talk Christian hip-hop, and let's talk about your latest projects. Do you consider yourself a lyricist, or just an artist?
I consider myself both. I'm an artist, but the type of artist I am is a lyricist.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Being a finalist for 520 Collective Lyricist of the Year Award, what does that mean for you?
Man, first of all, I'm honored and grateful for the opportunity. Shout out to my guy, Eric Boston, over at there at 520, and the rest of the staff over there. And shout out to the nominees, I believe Mr. Cutright and Q-Flow. Q-Flow, that's my dog. Like, I have a personal relationship with him somewhat. Like, we don't talk every day, but that's my guy. Like, you know what I mean? I definitely respect his pen, and we got a lot of love and respect for each other. And shout out to the brother, Mr. Cutright. I just never really got to speak to him. But anyway, fast forward. What does it mean to me? Man, it means that the hard work is being recognized. The technicalities of what I do is being appreciated and recognized, and that's always a blessing.
Yes, sir. What's your creative process like when you're putting a project together?
So it depends what type of project I'm putting together. For the most part, you know, you get a raw boom bap sound from me. But like for my last project, Fire in the Palace, it was pretty spontaneous. Shout out to my man Burn. He's a producer / videographer, photographer. He has so many hats, man. So shout out to him. But we were kind of kicking in the studio. No intentions of recording a project. I was actually there recording a verse for somebody else. And then he was playing beats for me. And I was like, yo, why don't we just record like a 4-pack? I love the sound. It's a little jazzy, a little more smooth, different from what I'm used to putting out. And so the creative process for that was I wanted to experiment with more of like a smooth, jazzy, like, vibe, you know what I mean? Like a more smooth, calm flow, more like melodic in certain aspects, but still give you that raw, still give you that YP. But you know, it's different from like, let's say, Guillotines on the East. But like the recording process for that was me and my man, the commissioner. He's from the Bronx. You know, I live in the South Bronx now, but I'm from Hudson County, New Jersey, Jersey City, West New York, Hudson County. And I'm like, yo, I feel like in my head, me and him could put together like a dope, like East Coast, you know, raw project, you know what I mean? And then the title Guillotines came to mind, because I was like thinking, I'm like, yo, I want something that's like, that embodies the sound that we have together, especially,
And I'm like, I thought about some titles and then guillotines. I'm like, oh, guillotines, I'll guillotine. I'm like, I wanted to embody the East Coast. I'm like, all right, guillotines on the East. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So because it's now guillotine on the East, now it brought me into another zone. I'm like, yo, I think with guillotine, what'll sound dope is like, you know, the kung fu clips. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, let me go look for some kung fu flicks, chop them things up and throw them in the records. I feel like the fans would appreciate that, especially people who, you know, from our era, you know what I mean? That will appreciate that type of vibe on the record. So I was like, yo, let's throw some kung fu flicks on it. And then also mix that up with some dope clips, you know, that are classics in the hood. You know what I mean? Like maybe a clip from, you know, like the other day I heard Tony Ayo sitting down. He was talking about, you know, how he was like, yo, man, you know, he was talking about God and spirituality. And there was something in there that I could take that when Tony Ayo comes, oh, that's Ayo. But look at what he's saying. And look how we're tying this all together. So when I'm creating, I'm always putting myself in the shoes of the listener. Like when I go press play on this, am I going to vibe to this? How is this going to impact me? So that's how I go creating.
Yes, sir. Fire in the palace.
Yeah.
Guillotines in the East.
Yep.
One, you step out of what you normally do.
Yep.
The other is raw, gritty, YP at its finest.
Yeah. Right.
Are we going to see more of you stepping out of what you do sometimes?
Yeah, well, so check this out. I got the Guillotines on the East 2 project dropping in January. January 13th, I think you're the first person I gave this official date to, like, live. I've told people behind the scenes, but, like, you're the first person I'm on record saying. January 13th, Guillotines on the East 2 come out. That's that gritty CHA. It's that gritty boom bap. But then I got two albums that I'm going to be putting out as well, along with a surprise project, but I'm not in liberty to say that one yet. But I know for sure I got Guillotines on the East 2 dropping, and then I got my albums coming out, Hector 1 and Hector 2. Hector's my government name. And in these two albums, you get a mixture of the gritty and then some of that fire in the palace, but even at a whole nother level. I feel like it's the best music that I've created thus far, the Hector 1 and Hector 2 albums. And then I got Guillotines dropping. That's, you know, what you expect from me. And then a surprise project that's going to have that gritty in there, but also it's going to push me to, you know, try different sounds as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we just started back our Behind the Mic podcast. So that's the plug. And what we do is, like, we like to sit down with the album and check out the lyrics. And then we interview the artist. So you're more than welcome. My platform is open. We just did our first interview with Shine On Me and broke down his album. And we got Saint Jones up next. So, man, whenever they sent me their music, I listen. We break it down. We want to know what's behind the lyrics, behind the motivation, you know, and production and sound and everything. So you're openly welcome at any time we're in your projects, because you're one of my favorite artists. So I wanted to give you the flowers right there. Yes, sir.
Thank you, bro. And praise God, man.
Yes, sir. So what's the overall message you want the listener to get out of your music?
The overall message, obviously, is, man, you know, this guy went through some things. He goes through some things. But he ultimately always points us back to the Savior. You know what I mean? Jesus. And I feel like that's what I want my supporters or somebody who just coming across my music for the first time to walk away with. And I feel like I get that. I feel like somebody will listen to my music and they'll be like, is this Christian music? It's rare. Is this Christian music? Or they'll be like, yo, like, I love the message. It, like, speaks to my soul. You know what I mean? And that's what I love. I want them to feel impacted by the music. And ultimately, like, in this crazy world that we live in, this chaotic world that we live in, where life can go up, life can go down, it's a roller coaster. Who should I roll with that I can find stability with, that's going to keep me shielded, that's going to, you know, that's going to keep me that's going to be that light that I need in the midst of darkness. And it's Jesus. Like, that's what I want the ultimate message to be. That, man, even though I've committed these sins, I've committed these crimes, I've done these horrible things, or, man, I'm depressed, I'm going to kill myself, or no one loves me, whatever bracket you fall in, I want you to hear my music and say, nah, nah, hold up. There's a Savior who loves you past your flaws. There's somebody who loves you despite maybe no one else loving you. And you don't need to kill yourself. There's an afterlife, and you can live for eternity with the Savior. He came here to rescue you. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. And before we close out, I got to go back to this EP because this has been on repeat with me, right? So, Fire in the Palace. The fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Daniel chapter 3, verse 27.
Yeah.
I love the EP, bro. Right off the rip with So Long. Give me a breakdown in the overall message, even though you may be repeating yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Of nah, your you latest, good. Of your latest EP, Fire in the Palace.
Yeah, so that verse that you quoted right there, shout out to Eric Boston. He actually connected the two, and I feel like that's perfect for what this project embodies. Because if you notice, it's basically saying in a nutshell that the fire didn't consume Danny. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So we're gonna be in the midst of the chaos. We're gonna be in the midst of the drama, in the midst of the fire. But man, the Lord is there to shield us. The Bible says that when the Father smells us, He smells the aroma of Christ. Mm. He smells the aroma of Christ. So notice that He said you didn't smell the sulfur or the fire because He was still covered by the grace, still covered by the Lord, by God. You know what I'm saying? So even though, like in this project, I talk about some personal things that I went through and that I was going through before Christ and in Christ, the Lord has kept me. And so long kind of like embodies that to the T, because it's like we've been on this road. It feels like for so long sometimes. Sometimes we have those moments as believers like, man, you feel tired or weary. Even the Bible has to encourage us, like, yo, you know, don't be discouraged, basically. There's other brothers and sisters all over the world that are going through the same thing you're going through. You know what I mean? Don't lose hope. Just keep persevering. And that's what so long, like, so long in my verse, I say things like, you know, my name may have been ran through the dirt before Christ or in Christ because of mistakes that I made, but God, you have still kept me. You know what I mean? Let every man be right or wrong, and you be right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
Despite the shortcomings, I can get back up. You know, I can still continue to persevere. I can still continue to move forward. You know what I mean? And then on these records, it's almost like psalms. I'm writing psalms, like I'm crying out to God, and I'm also speaking to the people. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Amen. Last thing, fam. Let the people know where they can follow you at and cop all your music.
Yo, listen, man. On Instagram, my joint got hacked, but I got a new joint. It's YP, a.k.a. Young Paul. And on Twitter, it's YP Music Live. I wanted both the names to be the same, but obviously one of my pages got hacked, so I had to change that. So once again, on IG, on Instagram, it's at YP, a.k.a. Young Paul. On Twitter, at YP Music Live. And if you want to find me on Spotify or Apple Music or any of those digital platforms, just search YP, a.k.a. Young Paul. You got to throw the a.k.a. in there because there's a lot of YPs. So that's why, like I said, I kept my name YP, a.k.a. Young Paul, because there's no other YP, a.k.a. Young Paul on the digital platform. There's no other YP, a.k.a. Young Paul that I know of. So I'm the only one. So if you want to search for me, you want to interact with me, hit me on a gram or hit me on Twitter. If you want to vibe out to the music, you know, hit up the platforms, YP, a.k.a. Young Paul. Last project I put out was Fire in the Palace. Vibe out with me, you know.
Yes, sir. And family, we're going to have all that in the show notes. YP, a.k.a. Young Paul, man, I appreciate you stopping by the podcast, blessing us with your testimony, encouraging us with your words,
Bro, I love what you're doing out there. I love your ministry. I pray that the Lord continues to be with you, lead you, and guide you so you can keep changing the lives for our culture, my brother.
Amen, bro. I appreciate you having me, man. It's been an honor. It was fun. It was edifying. Love you, bro. You're ready, man.
Yes, sir. And family, you know where you can catch us at? Go to your favorite web browser and just put in hashtag TBK247. And I guarantee we'll pop up everywhere. We out, family.